This is an exciting time, and of course the days that we're involved in right now are around the holiday of Christmas. And although the word Christmas isn't in Scripture, the story is there that people point to when they talk about Christmas. And I want to look at one part of that story that I don't think I've ever studied quite this way before. Because there's one person involved in this coming of God to the earth, in the arrival of Emmanuel. And you shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. The idea that God of the universe, the creator of all eternity, could become flesh and live a while among us is incredible. It's wonderful. It is amazing. But there was a person involved in that process that I don't spend much time studying. She's talked about even in the early chapters of Genesis. She's talked about by the prophets. Of course, I'm referring to Mary. You see, it's in Genesis chapter 3 when God tells the serpent, when he tells Satan that he's going to deal with him. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed, he shall bruise you on the head. The seed of woman, all the way back to Genesis, this teenage girl, for Mary was certainly a teenager, maybe 17, trying to balance society and biology. Maybe she was 16, 17. She's betrothed. She's promised to a good young man named Joseph. And this teenage girl is being used and identified by God all the way back to Genesis as being the point of his dealing with Satan himself. What a place that Mary is put into. I will put enmity between you and the woman, Genesis 3, chapter 15. Between you and the woman, between your seed and her seed. Very famously and with great comfort, we read from the book of Isaiah, as Isaiah says in what we identify as chapter 7, verse 14. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. I always love the verses that give us that extra emphasis about God. The Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin will be with child and bear a son, and she will call his name Emmanuel. He will eat curds and honey at the time he knows enough to refuse good and evil. Therefore, the boy will know enough to refuse evil and choose good. The land whose two kings you dread will be forsaken. Mary is given to us and reassured to us all the way back to Genesis and lifted up by the prophets. Nobody came to their faith in Christ like Mary did. Nobody came along their pathway like Mary did. There's not a single apostle. Joseph didn't seem to live long enough to see his son established as Lord. But Mary did. Let's look at Acts chapter 2. Excuse me, Acts chapter 1, verse 13. After the ascension of Jesus back into heaven, verse 12, they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey away. And when they had entered the city, they went up to the upper room where they were staying, that is, Peter and John and James and Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, Simon the Zealot, Judas the son of James. These were all with one mind, were continually devoting themselves to prayer with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. Now that's the last time in the New Testament that Mary is mentioned. That's the last time in the New Testament that Mary is mentioned at all. And so because of that, I usually spend my time on other issues for the church and other studies. Mary is made too much of in some circles of faith, and therefore we tend to back away from things that are overemphasized. But let us not underemphasize the magnificence of what this woman went through. For she is there with the church in its very first days. And to imagine that there was a time in early church history when you could have sat down, think about this, you could have sat down with Mary as a sister in Christ and asked her questions. What would you ask her? What would you ask her? In 1984, a man contemplated that idea, a man named Mark Lowry. He thought of that. What would he ask Mary? And he wrote a poem. It was part of a program he was working on. 10 years after he wrote it, it was put to music. Mark Lowry wrote these words. And he wrote it as a series of questions that he'd want to know from Mary. Some of you know where I'm going. Mary, did you know that your baby boy will one day walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy had come to make you new? This child that you've delivered will soon deliver you. Mary, did you know that your baby boy will give sight to a blind man? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will calm a storm with his hand? Did you know that your baby boy has walked where angels trod? And when you kiss your little baby, you've kissed the face of God. I don't like things that are excessively emotionally charged, you know, artificially emotional. But God wasn't accidental when he gave us his son, the co-creator of the universe. The entire universe is held together by the power of the words of Christ. And God gave us that gift in a little child. If you haven't heard, we've got another one coming in the church family. Most of you have heard the Shipleys are going to have a baby this coming summer. More babies. The incarnation of God, the coming in the flesh of God. You and I would have planned it differently. I know you've heard this from me before, but we would have put him in a powerful chariot, light speed, going around the earth, showing his power, showing his magnificence, showing his greatness. Well, that's the way he's coming back the second time. He's coming back riding on a white horse with a sword coming out of his mouth. He's coming back in display of his power. But the first time he came, as a little tiny baby, needing to be nursed by his mother, needing to be changed and cared for and protected by young, inexperienced parents who who at his birth weren't even married. Mark Lowry continues with his poem. The blind will see, the deaf will hear, the dead will live again, the lame will leap, the dumb will speak, the praises of the Lamb. Mary, did you know that your baby boy is Lord of all creation? Did you know that your baby boy will one day rule the nations? Did you know that your baby boy is heaven's perfect lamb? This sleeping child you're holding is the great I am. First time I heard that song, I was taken by it. And it remains one of the favorite songs I pick up on the radio at this time of the year. Mary was in the early church with her sons. Her sons, James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas. Those are the brothers of Jesus. James, the elder in the Jerusalem church who wrote the book of James. Joseph, who we know nothing else about other than he's named after his own father. Simon, we know even less about him, except his name. Judas, who wrote the book of Jude, almost certainly is the author of the book of Jude. And then his sisters. You ever thought about Jesus' sisters? We at least think some about his brothers because they're mentioned a couple of times. But Jesus had plural sisters. Jesus had sisters. I wonder who they married. I wonder where their faith was. See, Mary had a full life as a mother. But Mary came to her faith in her son in a very different way than anybody else. Paul says his birth into Christ was unique. Well, Paul, yours was unique. But if you don't mind my misuse of the word, Mary's was more unique. Mary's was more unique. By the way, if you want, the list of Jesus' brothers is found in Matthew 13:55. You see, Mary came through to this faith in a total surprise. Here's this teenage girl promised to be married, probably living in the excitement of the anticipation of this good young man she's going to marry. Like all young brides, she's looking forward to and scared to death by the upcoming marriage. Nervousness and joy mixing in confusion. And then she's visited by an angel. Luke chapter 1 describes her visit. She's shocked. She's doesn't know quite what to do with this visit. The angel comes to her and tells her that she's going to be with child. Let's look at Luke chapter 1, verse 26. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God. Luke 1, 26. Now in the sixth month, that's the sixth month of her cousin's pregnancy with John. The angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, to the descendants of the descendants of David. For the virgin's name was Mary. And coming in, he said to her, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was very perplexed at this statement and kept pondering what kind of salutation this was. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. For you have found favor with God. Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus, and he will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom shall have no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I'm a virgin?" That's exactly the right response. The angel just finished telling her about the great kingdom that her son was going to reign in, the endless power that her son was going to hold, told her that God himself will give him the throne. And Mary kind of skims over all that. okay, my son's going to be a king. God's watching over. Wait a second. How did I do this again? I can't have done this. I've never been with a man. I can't have done this. I'm a virgin. Mary doesn't get past the first point. Excuse me, sir. That's not possible. The angel said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And for that reason, the Holy Child shall be called the Son of God. Behold, even your relative Elizabeth has also conceived a son in her old age, and she who is called barren is now in her sixth month, for nothing will be impossible with God. And Mary said, behold, Mary said about herself, behold, the bondslave of the Lord, may it be done to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. Remarkable young lady. Last Sunday, we had our youth group over at our house. First time in a long time, way too long for us to have them over to our house. We had a blast with our teenagers. They are a wonderful group of young folks. Give them a hug. Buy them an extra Christmas gift, something. How am I doing, guys? Put a 50 in a Christmas card and give it. They are a wonderful group of young folks. We had a blast at our house, and they were considerate of one another and kind, and they laughed at themselves and they laughed with each other. We have a wonderful group of teenagers. But this young lady is quite remarkable, and I'm not sure she's that most young women allowed some chance to think about God using them would have said what Mary said, but she said it right away. I don't know how much time is in between the arrival and when she said, behold, the bondslave of the Lord. But this young lady is ready to let God use her. She was come upon, visited without faith. It wasn't her choice to have this angel come. It wasn't her request to be given a child while she's still a virgin. She's confused by the message itself. And then she's got to face her. She's got to face Joseph. Joseph is ready, according to Matthew 1, to put her away quietly. Joseph, being a gentleman and a kind young man, doesn't make an issue over her obvious betrayal. It's obvious she betrayed him. It's obvious she's done wrong before him and to him. But he's kind enough not to make an issue of that until he gets his own visit, as we read about a while ago. So Mary goes and visits Elizabeth in Luke chapter 1. And then we read what Etienne read for us, which are the words of Mary, magnificent words of Mary, as she begins to catch hold of what it is that God's doing through her. He has done mighty deeds with his arm, verse 51. He has scattered those who were proud in the thoughts of their heart. He has brought down the rulers of their thrones. He has exalted those who are humble. He has filled the hungry. Listen to this. This is Mary's words in Luke as she's describing what's happening out of her seed, out of the child born out of her womb. He has filled the hungry with good things, and he has sent away the rich empty-handed. The warning out of this that I take for myself is I had better be hungry. The danger of letting the things of this world satisfy us, and the danger of this week as we go busily from one event to another, as we eat too much food, as we give ourselves too many gifts, as we take too much leisure, as we demand too much of our own will, the danger is that we're going to fit in the second half of verse 53 and not the first half. We're going to lose our hunger and our passion for God, that we're going to end up being the rich who go through this period of time, who go through any walk of our lives with Christ, and walk out of it empty-handed. God, you go to God hungry, he will fill you, says Mary. You go to God hungry, he will fill you. The rich will leave empty-handed. He has given help to Israel, his servant, and in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and his descendants forever. And Mary stayed there for about 3 months and then returned home. She and Joseph are still unmarried when they go to Bethlehem months later. So she's surprised and she's come upon in a sudden way. She's confused by the message. She's scared in the confrontation with her betrothed. With what does she tell Joseph and what is he going to do with her? I don't know how Joseph reconciled all that. But he took the message of the angel and stayed with her. She's separated from her family, though. Joseph seemed to understand, but for a woman pregnant, she's now stressed by the travel. Coming into Bethlehem, they can find no place to stay, no family to take them in. They're of the house of David in a city filled with people of the house of David, and they end up staying in a stable. Nobody takes them in. She's confused, she's scared, she's separated, she's stressed. And then she has her baby, and she puts him in a feeding trough. That's the most normal thing in the world, right? Just lay your baby in the feeding trough. No! It's the most abnormal thing in the world. We've heard this story too many times. We need to be shocked. We need to be surprised. We need to be in awe of the humility of our Heavenly Father that he takes his son and has him born to a young unmarried couple in a stable with no place for comfort except to clean out the grain and the rotten. You know, that stuff gets kind of moldy. You have to scrape it out of the corners. It gets down in there. And even any well-used feeding trough smells pretty moldy. Jesus sleeps in a feeding trough. And then the shepherds come. They've got their own story we won't get into. But she's intruded upon. How much help did she have in delivering this child? Joseph. That's all we know of. Maybe there was somebody else who showed up. But we don't hear about any midwives. There doesn't seem to be any family members around. Elizabeth was surrounded by family. Mary seems to be alone. A totally inexperienced man helping her deliver this baby. And then the shepherds showed up. I'm not sure how welcome they were to them, except they were excited. Stories found in Luke chapter 2. We won't read that today. We know that part of the story. The shepherds are stunned by the arrival of the angels on the hillside. They say, we got to go into town and find out what's going on. They stumble their way into town, find Mary, Joseph, and the baby, and excitedly worship him. And then they leave. What was that all about? 8 days later, let's read this one together. 8 days later, they do go into the temple in Luke chapter 2. Jesus is presented at the temple. And there was a man from Jerusalem named Simeon, verse 25, Luke 2, 25. And this man was righteous and devout, looking for consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. For it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the spirit of the temple, into the temple, and when the parents brought the child in, Jesus, to carry out for him the custom of the law, he took him in his arms and blessed God, saying, "Now, Lord, you are releasing your bondservant to depart in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all people, a light of revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." And his father and mother were amazed. Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rise of many in Israel, and for a sign to be opposed, and a sword will pierce even your own soul. To the end that thoughts from many hearts will be revealed. God protected Joseph from that pain, but he didn't protect Mary. You know more of the story. You know how they were confused, stunned by and blessed by the Magi visit, probably a year later, confused by Jesus abandoning them for 3 days. 3 days they were looking for him as a 12-year-old. Mary was with Jesus and confused at several times during his ministry and went to see Jesus. And remember Jesus' response when they said, "Your mother and your brothers are outside." What did Jesus say? Did he jump up and go out and see his mom? He said, "Who are my mother and my brothers? Are not these my mother and my brother and my sisters?" Leaving his mom standing outside. God doesn't protect her from the pain of Jesus' ministry. And God doesn't protect her from the pain of Jesus' crucifixion. For it was Mary who and John were standing at the foot of the cross when Jesus says to John, "Behold your mother," and to Mary, "Behold your son." And in John 19, verse 27, from that hour the disciple took her into his own household. Mary is a significant message to us of faith and obedience to God. Mary has a powerful message to us about what it means to let God's will be done in your life, about the joy of it and the heartbreak of it, about the rejoicing of it and the complete confusion. There are many, many times in Mary's life, you know, she had no idea why what was happening was happening. She did not understand. And she did not understand this torturous execution of her firstborn son. But she stayed with him. She stayed with him all the way through his death. And she stayed with him all the way through his ascension back into heaven. And she stayed with him all the way until he was the head and she was part of his body, the church. There is one thing I want to highlight about Mary's message for us in John chapter 2, and this will wrap up our lesson. John chapter 2, if you'll turn there with me. It's just the story about Jesus turning water into wine. A rather remarkable, an incredible story. You could ask, why did he do it? He did it because his mother said to him, "They have no wine." Obviously, God had allowed all this to fit together, but it was his mother. It was Mary in John 2, verse 3. And it's wonderful to speculate. It's wonderful to dive into this story and to talk about why it would have been Mary that said this. Was she particularly close to this family who was getting married? Why did she bring it to Jesus? We hear nothing about Joseph. He probably had died by this point, so there's no father around. So Jesus, her oldest son, about 30 years old, is now the one she relies on to be the man of the household, clearly. So did she expect him to do something, or did she expect him to do something? I don't know. That goes back to the song, Mark Lowry's song. "Mary, did you know that your baby boy would walk on water?" I don't know. I'd love to hear the answers to those questions. But there's something she did say, and whether she meant to or not, she's given this message to us, and she parallels God himself with such a great message. For she tells Jesus in verse 3, "They have no wine." And Jesus says to her, "Woman, what does it have to do with us? My hour has not yet come." We have no more dialogue between Mary and Jesus. Just like a mom. You guys know exactly what I'm talking about. This is just like a mom. She doesn't seem to say anything else to him. What she does in verse 5 is turn to the servants and say, and this is our message for today, and we'll thank Mary for it. This is our message for today. Whatever he says to you, do it. That's your message from this magnificent woman. Whatever he says to you, do it. It's the same message. It's the same message that God gave us at the Mount of Transfiguration. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. Mary could have said the exact same sentence that the Heavenly Father could say, and she's the only one of all mankind who could ever state that sentence and speak God's words exactly as God did. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. She said almost the same thing when she said to the servants, whatever he says to you, do it. That's our message for this season, to appreciate this wonderful woman who God used in a very poignant and a very powerful and a very painful way. She's rejoicing. She got to live through the joy and the pain of knowing Jesus in a different way than any other person has known him. And her message to us is, whatever he says to you, do it. Thank you so much for your kind attention this morning. As you know, we won't be having our fellowship lunch today. It's a little warm in here, but we're kind of compensating for the cold side, trying to keep it from freezing over there. We won't be having our fellowship lunch or Bible classes today because of the heat being out. So take today as an extra time for being with family. Slow down. Appreciate these things. For twice it says that Mary took these things and treasured them in her heart. She treasured them in her heart. And to echo what Michael said about it's all about the heart, Mary kept taking things into her heart, and she kept taking things into her heart, and she kept taking things into her heart. Today, if there's any need that we can help with, if any here are ready to be baptized into Christ, or have any need for Bible study or something that they prayerfully want to be brought before the congregation, please come forward and let us know while we stand to sing the song that God has selected.